This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are letting the good times roll here on Freddie and Harry as we take you up to more NFL draft coverage. It begins tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern across your ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also hear it on the ESPN app, of course. Just go to Listen Live. Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, yeah. Amber Wilson hanging out. We're filling in for the guys. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So we've been reacting to, of course, the first round of the NFL draft from last night. The big story out of the first round was what the Atlanta Falcons did there with their eighth pick. Both that, Zaz and I don't hate what they did with some thought about it. Drafting Michael Penix Jr. Chad Brown, former All-Pro, former Pro Bowler, spent 15 years playing in the NFL. So he thinks he knows a little bit more than me and Zaslow about football. He doesn't feel the same way as we feel. I mean, I've watched a lot of football though.
Yes, and I will give you credit for your football watching, and you notice that I did not say, well, you didn't play the game at no point in my argument, because that undermines
you
my argument
it.
As a former player. Yes, you got busted.
You thought
clearly.
100% you
clearly,
thought
clearly 100% I thought it.
How you close were you to saying know. It? How close were you to saying you never played?
No, I was not close at all, because I know that undermines my argument. I want to make an argument based on facts and logic and not appeal to emotion or
Chad,
my playing experience.
Have you ever used that in an argument with somebody? Have you ever used that on or off air?
It has been at least 10 years, because I've recognized that that's a conversation ender, because now you're appealing to my authority that you don't have, and now we can't have a back and forth. So I did not.
I like it. Amber, he's stringing us along by not saying it. I like it. He's being
I have thought it a number of
times. He's internalizing it.
As you guys have throughout your arguments out there. This is a terrible move. It's a terrible move, because why would you pay somebody 4 years, $180 million, if you don't think he's going to be the guy or the solution for you? So now you undermine that guy's ability to feel like the organization is behind him and has confidence in him. And you've used the word a number of times, Jonathan, the right, that Kirk Cousins does not have the right to be upset. Of course he has the right to be upset. You think the Falcons just said, here's a contract, take it or leave it? Or did they sell him on the organization and what kind of organization they are and how they're going to treat him and how they're going to treat his family? They sold him on all those things, and literally less than 6 weeks later, what do? They go out and find his replacement before he's ever played a down for them. This is a significant error on multiple levels. Number one, to the quarterback who's going to start this year, you have immediately make him feel like you are not confident in him or his ability to lead this team long term.
Well, the idea that, you know, they brought him in and they've already gone out there and found his replacement, like, to me, that's what the money's for. They gave him a ton of money, and sometimes you're going to deal with some adversity, and this would obviously be some adversity. I would say this is what the money's for, but the second part that I would say is this can wind up being an amazing problem for the Atlanta Falcons to have. You know, if Kirk Cousins goes out there the next couple seasons, Falcons win 12 games, Falcons win 13 games, how are you going to – you're going to sit Kirk Cousins in and go with Michael Penix? You know what? If I'm a Falcons fan – I hope to God we have that problem in a couple of years from now, that we're so good with Kirk Cousins that, you know what, we got to find something else to do with Michael Penix Jr. That would be an amazing problem for the Falcons to have, no?
Yeah, people keep acting like, Chad, people keep acting like if Kirk Cousins works out and then also they have Michael Penix Jr., somehow this is a bad thing. Like, it's too much of a good thing is a bad thing. And frankly, if Kirk Cousins ends up being that awesome and somehow that healthy, and even Kirk Cousins had to have the wherewithal to understand he's 35 years old and coming off of an Achilles injury. Like, this is a dude who's been in the league for 12 years. He can't get his panties in a bunch over competition. Even he has to recognize that. But if he goes out there and he's absolutely lights out.
It's his job. It's not competition, though.
Well, we know it's not competition right now, but in terms of like the future, in terms of after 2 years from now, when they could get out of the rest of the guaranteed money because it's $90 million over the next 2 years, so they can move on after 2 years. If he's lights out, Chad, over the next 2 years, that's a problem that they can figure out at that point. But I feel like it's a good problem to have. Like, the reality is that San Francisco ends up moving on from Trey Lance because Brock Purdy ends up being so good. Like, think thankfully, they had the Brock Purdy situation to save them from the Trey Lance situation. Sometimes if you hit on the guy or you have years left with the guy who ends up being the starter, you could figure out how to move the guy behind him.
Okay, so this four-year deal for Kirk Cousins really is a two-year deal. I think we can all acknowledge that.
Yes.
In year three, in 2026, if they were to release Kirk Cousins, they would have a $25 million dead cap hit. With the Russell Wilson dead cap hit year, I think this year being $53 million, $25 million 2 years down the road doesn't feel so bad.
Jump change.
The salary cap is going to continue to grow, so it's not going to hamstring the Atlanta Falcons financially. But that's 2 years down the road. For the next 2 years, you have to, again, worry about the conversation of, as soon as Kirk Cousins doesn't play well, of what about Michael Penix from the reporters? Those questions get into the locker room. Raheem Morris has got to answer those questions. And again, just from an organizational standpoint, you decided that Kirk Cousins was the guy. In fact, he was so much the guy, you basically guaranteed him $90 million, yet you are already looking for his replacement. It just doesn't fit within how NFL teams traditionally work, because there is not a team within the NFL that has all of its roster spots filled in a way that the club is happy with. It's impossible due to the salary cap. That's the structure of the NFL to make you have to be creative with these kind of things. So for the Falcons to overlook all of their deficiencies in the first round, where they can go out and get an impact player at a number of positions and get a quarterback who, in the best case scenario, wouldn't play for at least 2 years, possibly 3 years. It feels like that's a luxury that the Falcons, who have not won a playoff game and haven't had a sack, double-digit sack guy since 2016, simply didn't have. So while I understand the contingency plan of all that and how, if everything works out, this could be great, in the meantime, there's so many things that could potentially go wrong here that I just don't think this is a wise football decision.
I think you could almost make the case that them selecting Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 is showing everyone and Kirk Cousins how much confidence they actually have in Kirk Cousins. Because, hey,
Explain that to me. Please use all the backward logic possible to get that through my brain here, because that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
We are so confident in Kirk Cousins' ability these next 2 years, at least of the guarantee, maybe even 3 years before you go into the final year of the contract. We are so confident in Kirk Cousins that we don't think it's going to be an issue with everybody calling for the backup quarterback, calling for the rookie or maybe next year the second-year quarterback. We think Kirk Cousins is going to be so good that that's not even going to be an issue. And yeah, you know what? In 3 years from now, when Kirk Cousins' contract is almost over, and by the way, he's 38 years old, I feel like somehow, because Tom Brady, the greatest ever, played until he was 45 at a high level, there's this expectation that quarterbacks are supposed to be really great going into their 40s, as if Tom Brady is not the greatest ever and not a super anomaly. I think it's pretty reasonable to believe that Kirk Cousins, by 38 years old, is probably going to be washed up. And I think that they believe that he's good enough, or going to be good enough, at least these first couple years, that it's not even going to be an issue of people calling for Michael Penix Jr.
Okay,
so
as soon as you get a new job, Jonathan, as soon as you get the job, you sign the contract, and then you happen to just be flipping through the one ads for whatever reason. Maybe your laptop browser was still open before you got the job, and you stumbled upon the page, and you realize, they just signed me to a new deal, yet they're posting my job. They're posting a want-it ad for my job as soon as I get the deal. And does that make you feel more confident in your role with them? Does that make you feel like they really love you? Does that make you feel like, I got to bring my best every day because these people are really committed to me?
Well, number one, the money's guaranteed, so it's not as if someone's going to take your job right now and you're out of work if you're Kirk Cousins. But number two, I think it's also painfully obvious that the Falcons, the best case scenario, what the Falcons are hoping for is Kirk Cousins is great for the next few years, for the entirety of this contract maybe even. It's not a 20-year deal, it's a 4-year deal. Best case scenario is Kirk Cousins is great for this deal, and now we have another quarterback to throw out there when Cousins' career is over. Like, that is what the Falcons want. The Falcons don't want to throw Michael Penix out there in week 8. They want Cousins to be great for the entirety of the contract, and then we have a quarterback ready to go. Like, that is what they want, right?
It does, in fact, happen also in the real world for the rest of us as well. Like at companies, there are succession plans or succession plans even for executives where you know that so-and-so's a CEO, but you also know who the next CEO is going to be over the course of the next 3 or 4 years as they phase out a CEO at the top. That happens with corporations all the time. It happens with companies where you know the next person that's on the come up as the last person nears what's probably going to be a retirement age. That sort of is the reality of how it works. So it's, I don't know if it's necessarily akin to the want ad for your specific job, but yes, it is somewhat akin to the succession plan and the people that are coming up behind you and the company looking towards the future and not just towards the present. And that happens sort of in every job place, I think, across the country. And that's what's happening here to Kirk Cousins. I wonder, because we're all under this assumption that Kirk Cousins, because he was blindsided last night, he didn't get the call from Atlanta until they were on the clock. We're also assuming that had Kirk Cousins had an opportunity to consider it, that he would not have gone to Atlanta if he knew that they were taking a quarterback to sit behind him for a couple of years. And frankly, I don't know if that's true. He'd still be making $180 million with this contract, at least 90 of that being guaranteed. And if you're Kirk Cousins, you might have still looked at the situation in Atlanta and thought, all right, even if they draft a guy and he's sitting behind me for 2 or 3 years, this is still the best spot for me in the immediacy. Let's hear from Terry Fontenot, the Falcons general manager, on why they picked Michael Penix Jr.
Being able to add Michael Penix Jr., when you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
We're going to get to your phone calls on this subject. If you want to chime in to what the Atlanta Falcons did, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You're listening to Freddie and Harry, Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, Amber Wilson hanging out with you. Raheem Morris, the Falcons head coach, he also spoke on why they took Michael Penix Jr.
It was pretty simple for us. When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in a position to do, which we want to be in a position to do. We won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly, and we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments and to be able to move forward. You know, fortunately enough with us, we got a Kirk Cousin in the building. We got a guy that can go out there and win football games, and we should be picking high enough. We talked about winning the South. We talked about doing some of these things. That includes going to the playoffs. You just seen 6 quarterbacks go off the board before the 12th pick of the draft. And we don't want to be picking on it anymore. And Terry's done a nice job of getting us some really good players, some quality players, but we don't want to be back in that position. So let's move forward, think about the future, address that right now.
Let me ask you guys a question. And there's no way to actually answer it, but I'm gonna ask it anyway.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to ask it anyway.
That's going to make for great reading.
It's all conjecture. If Kirk Cousins is upset that he didn't know about this, all right, he feels blindsided, let me ask you guys this. If when they were negotiating the contract, if they slid over that piece of paper to Kirk Cousins, Falcons did, $180 million, almost $100 million guaranteed, and they also told him, by the way, Kirk, we're going to draft a quarterback number 8 overall to eventually replace you, does Kirk Cousins still sign that contract?
John. Maybe not. But they didn't give him the opportunity to do that. They sold him one thing, and then 6 weeks later presented a completely different scenario here. So I could see why Kirk Cousins would be at the very least confused and justifiably upset. And I believe that's well within his rights to be upset about this. Again, I've been in those locker rooms. Athletes have egos too. Money, while it's a great lubricant towards happiness, it doesn't necessarily guarantee the happiness. And we still can be hurt just because I have $90 million guaranteed. Now my feelings don't count. I'm supposed to have
when you have $90 million. That happens.
Yes, that's a real thing. And to push back on your point, Amber, about the succession plans. Of course, Apple needs a succession plan because there are shareholders and there's folks who are buying stocks. They need to keep the stock price high. So in those kind of publicly traded companies, there has to be somebody who's going to be next, because we've got to keep the millions of people who own bits of our company happening. For the Atlanta Falcons, they got to worry about trying to make the playoffs this year, this season. After this, nothing else is guaranteed. Only this year matters from a football perspective. It is a year-to-year league, and the Falcons do not have enough success or even recent playoff success to be thinking about succession plans. It feels when Raheem Morris was talking like it was like an Ocean's 11 movie, like everything was lining up perfectly. Like all the things, the security guard turned his head, they were able to cut off the power at the right time. No, you will be in the top 10 drafting again at some point very soon if you don't find a way to be successful. To guarantee or think you're automatically going to be successful, therefore won't be drafting the top 10, you've got to plan for the best but prepare for the worst-case scenario. It seemed like they were planning for the best and expecting that to happen.
Everything does go perfectly in Ocean's 11.
Every single time, 12 and 13.
I don't believe that general managers are drafting for what's best for this year. I think they're literally drafting for what's best for many years, for what's best for the future of their organization. I don't think they're drafting based on what's best for this year.
Well, I think it depends a bit. I think to Chad's point, it depends a bit on the actual organization too. Chad's arguing that you don't have the luxury of looking too far ahead if you're an organization that hasn't done any of the winning lately. Let's get to some of these phone calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. Don has been kind enough to stay on hold from Texas. Don, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I think I wouldn't have had a problem with Atlanta taking a quarterback if somebody like Drake May had fallen and they hadn't expected it, right? You'd say, oh my gosh, we weren't expecting this. This is a once in a lifetime thing. We've got to take this shot because a couple of teams whiffed off. The problem that I have with Penix is twofold. One, I don't know how any team can expect a quarterback who's had four season ending injuries in 6 years of college to survive in the NFL. It's not going to happen. I hope it does. I really don't wish him. I don't wish anything bad on him. But the problem that they now have kind of put themselves in is, let's say Kirk Cousins plays 3 years out. They've got 1 year to determine if they're going to offer him another year, Penix, before they've got to offer him either a long-term deal or let him go. So the problem really is if Kirk Cousins plays well, They're not going to have enough of a sample size with Penix to know if they want to keep him. And even if they do, never know if he's going to survive much of a career.
Thanks for the call, Don. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa, another quarterback that Zaslow and I are very familiar with, that everyone said wouldn't be able to make it in the NFL because of the injury history. And look at you now. Andre is calling us from New York. Andre, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, so a couple things here. So the first thing is, I'm a Bucs fan, so I'm biased 100%. But I absolutely love the pick that they made, and here's why. I have a window with Baker Mayfield to start with. So the only team I'm worried about in that division is Atlanta. Now you've got Penix, where they needed help guarding Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They needed help getting to the quarterback. They have weapons as far as wide receivers and things like that. But now you've also taken your quarterback, who technically Kirk Cousins is considered a franchise quarterback now, and now you've given him doubt. So now if anything starts going wrong during the season, if anything starts happening where these rumors are coming, oh, Michael Penix is throwing the ball better in practice than Kirk Cousins, yada, 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 there is going to be dissension. This is a perfect pick for me. We have dominated this division over the past 3 years. The year we won the Super Bowl.
They won nine games last year. Dominated.
They have nine games. Over the last few years. But that's the thing with Atlanta. That's all they have to do to win the division. And people were picking the Falcons to win the division, though, before this draft. If you thought they were going to win the division before this draft, then I don't really understand the logic why all of a sudden they're not going to win the division, because they didn't take Adunze or they didn't take Dallas Turner, whomever else that you thought was supposed to be the guy there in Atlanta, because frankly, your analysis wasn't dependent on them taking one of those people in the draft. Charles is calling us from North Carolina. Charles, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, ladies and gents. Really quick, you know, here's the thing, and you touched on it, I think. The Falcons overlooked Odoo's. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. They overlooked that receiver, and they overlooked Brock Bowers. everybody is going to be tracking those two players through the season saying, come on, look what you did. You know, it might have cost the Falcons 3 wins this year for overlooking one of those guys.
I mean, if they took one of those wide receivers, though, I think people would be even angrier than they are with taking Penix Jr. Like, they have a great offense already.
Right. Well, they have the weapons. I think the argument to me, Chad, makes a little bit more sense, and we're up against it here, but the argument to me makes a little bit more sense when you're talking linebackers, edge rushers, when you're talking defensive help, cornerbacks, than it does if you're talking, oh, they needed to take another receiver or they needed to take a tight end, which frankly, there's already controversy that the Raiders took Brock Bowers.
Your improvement is never in a vacuum. Your improvement is compared to the other teams in your division. So if with your first round pick, you don't get any more improvement for this year and everyone else in your division get somebody who can help them this year, then you've just fell behind. That's why this is so critical. I get all the future thoughts about the future, but everyone else in your division is finding ways to get better this season. So now the Falcons start to slip back.
I love what the Falcons did because they have given us endless content here on Freddie and Harry with Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown, Amber Wilson filling in for the guys. The 2024 NFL Draft is on ESPN Radio, presented by ESPN Bet. Coverage of rounds 4 through 7 begins tomorrow at noon Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry, good take, hot take, NFL draft selection version of that. That is right here on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This is Freddie and Harry with Chad Brown, Jonathan Zaslow, and Amber Wilson. Freddie and Harry is presented by Progressive Insurance. We're hopping off air a little bit early tonight because we got to get you ready for the next rounds of the NFL Draft. The 2024 NFL Draft is on ESPN Radio, presented by ESPN Bet. Second and third round coverage begins tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Of course, you can also hear it on Sirius XM Channel 80. So we've been reacting all show long to what happened there in the first round, getting you ready for rounds 2 and 3, talking about the NBA fallout from last night as well with the Lakers and also some of the shenanigans from Joel Embiid. If you missed anything here on Freddie and Harry, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But right now it is time to play some good take, hot take.
Is it a good take?
That's good. Great.
Or a hot take?
How hot? Red hot.
Find out now.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
So in this version of Good Take, Hot Take, NFL Draft Selections Edition, we'll treat the good take, obviously, like a great move by that team, and the hot take like a more controversial selection by that team that you're not so sure of. Let's start with you, Chad, with Drake May of the Patriots.
I got to go hot take here. The Patriots have so many holes. To bring in the quarterback of the future, who's he going to throw to? Who's going to block for him? Where's this running game going to come from? Where's the defense that is going to make it easy for him to go out and win football games, not to have to put up 35 points? This is totally a hot take by the Patriots. You don't get the quarterback before you build up the rest of your organization.
I'm going Drake May in New England. Good take. I don't know how often you're going to have the opportunity to pick this high in the draft and in a quarterback-rich draft. I mean, the Patriots were terrible this past season, and they didn't get the number one pick as a result, not even number two pick. It was the number three pick, and a lot of years, there aren't going to be more than two really top-tier quarterbacks. This year, there were, it seems, three top-tier quarterbacks. So I'm going good take. The Patriots had to pull the trigger.
Don't worry, we'll make sure, as Miami Dolphins here, Zaza, we'll make sure that they're still bad for years to come. I'll go hot take here, but hot take because, like Chad said, they have a lot of needs there in New England. And I felt pretty strongly that they should get a landslide for trading back and use all that draft capital to address some of the other needs, worry about a quarterback either later in the draft or in a different year, but we'll see how it works out. Next.
With the fifth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame.
Good take, hot take, Jonathan Zaslow.
Joe Alt to the Chargers is a good take. I got some trust in Harbaugh. Obviously, the core of the team is the franchise quarterback in Herbert, so let's make sure we have an opportunity to take the top tackle in the draft. Let's make sure we can protect him for the next, you know, for the foreseeable future here. So, Joe Alt, Chargers, good take.
For me, this is a good take as well. Harbaugh's success in Michigan, his real true success the last couple years, came when they really focused on that offensive line and started playing some power football. So while Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy were certainly a part of the success there, mainly it was based up front what they were able to do. Harbaugh's trying to bring that formula to the NFL with the Chargers, and Joe Alt is a guy that they can plug and play at that tackle position. It's a no-brainer. He's going to be effective there from day one.
Yeah, I agree with Chad. Harbaugh's been proven to be an O-line whisperer first, if you will. And Alt is a steady blocker. He's going to pair there with Rashawn Slater. You get good protection for Justin Herbert. I think that this was a very good take by the Los Angeles Chargers. Next.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
Good take, hot take, Chad.
This is a good take. I thought the Giants may go after a quarterback and with the future of Daniel Jones being in question. Instead, they go with the most explosive playmaker and probably the most dangerous ball carrier in all the draft. This guy is dangerous with the ball in his hands. The history of talented LSU wideouts making a splash in the NFL is clear. It's consistent. He instantly makes the Giants offense a much more explosive offense, whether it's deep balls down the field or shorter passes where he has the ability to take it to the house.
Malik Nabers to the Giants is a good take. If they weren't going to replace Daniel Jones, you know what? Let's do everything in our power to make his life easier. And by selecting the second best, well, you know, I guess you assume the second best wide receiver in the draft. I think there are plenty of people out there who think he could be the best wide receiver in the draft. But if you're not going to move on from Daniel Jones, let's do our best to help him. That's a good take.
There's some questions there around Nabers in terms of the reputation and, you know, how flashy he is and how, you know, this and that you hear. Like you similarly heard, by the way, about Odell Beckham Jr., another LSU product, which was the last time that the Giants had over 1,000 yards receiving, I think, was you have to go all the way back to that era for the Giants. This is a desperate need for the Giants. I agree that getting Daniel Jones help is of the utmost importance once you've paid that quarterback. So at least they're rocking with him for right now. I kind of like that they didn't overreach for one of these other quarterbacks, assuming that the ones that they liked were probably already off the board at the point that they drafted. So it's a good take in my book as well. Next.
With the 11th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Olu Fashanu.
Okay.
Tackle, Penn State.
Good take, hot take, Zaz.
I didn't hear his name. Can you repeat it for me, Amber?
No.
Okay.
You know what? I got the last name down. Fashanu. Still working on the first name.
Olu Fashanu. To the Jets.
It's not Olu. There's a lot more to the first name that I think
the commissioner called him Olu. The commissioner
said. Because Roger Goodell punted on the rest of it. Olu me.
I'm punting also.
I don't know.
Olu Fashanu to the Jets. I'm going good take. I mean, what's the thing we talked about going into last season when it comes to Aaron Rodgers? This offensive line, right? And they moved down a spot. They certainly weren't going to take a quarterback at number 10, so that seems like a good play as well. I'll go good take.
I'm going to go good take here as well for Fashanu. Tyron Smith, the former Dallas Cowboy, when he's healthy, when he's on the field, one of the best tackles in the game. Unfortunately, last 3 years, being healthy and being available hasn't been his strong suit. So to bring in a quality college player who's got a little bit of development to go, but in case Tyron Smith were to get banged up and miss a couple of games, Fashanu could plug in and be successful, keep Aaron Rodgers upright. This is a good pick and a good take by the New York Jets.
Yeah, an insurance policy there for Tyron Smith. I think that this is a good take. Like Zaslow mentioned, this has been a need here for the Jets for a long time. You got to get it right. You got Aaron Rodgers. I think that this was the way to go for the Jets. Next.
With the 12th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon.
Wow, Broncos fans really excited. They're live at the draft by that pick. Good take, hot take, Chad.
Can I say both? Can it be a good take and a hot take together? Because on one hand, I want to trust Sean Payton. And Sean Payton says he did the deep analytical dive into Bo Nix. And he eliminated all the short passes and just looked at no screens, none of the short passes, looked at deep throws, and he was the best deep ball thrower. And eliminated all these other receiver issues and found ways to say he's the best mid-ball thrower as well. So he did this dive, so I want to trust Sean Payton, but I also want to trust my own eyes. I called some of Bo Nix's games when he was in the SEC, and he clearly left a lot to be desired. Now, his game grew when he went to the University of Oregon, and they found ways to make him a far more successful passer of the football, but I'm still having a difficult time forgetting what I saw when he was at Auburn, and he clearly was not worthy of the 12th pick in the draft in my mind based off of that.
Bo Nix to the Broncos is a hot take. You didn't see me go in that direction. I'm going hot take Bo Nix to Denver. I have a hard time if I'm a Bronco fan and we want them to get a franchise quarterback and somebody for Sean Payton to build around. Obviously, Sean Payton knows what he's doing with quarterbacks, but we also have to look at what's in front of us, which is he was the fifth quarterback off the board. Like, if I'm a Bronco fan, I don't want to say, all right, we're building our franchise around the fifth best quarterback in this draft. So I don't love that. If I'm a fan, I'm going hot take.
I'm going to go good take, but it's not necessarily because I think Bo Nix is going to pan out. I have no idea if he's going to. But to Zaslow's point there, taking the fifth best quarterback, I don't know what people wanted the Denver Broncos to do. It appears pretty obvious that teams like the New England Patriots weren't willing or weren't very serious anyways about being reasonable in trading away their pick. The reality is the Broncos were drafting where they were drafting, and they needed a quarterback. And this guy was available. Now, Sean Payton says he was the guy anyways. That's what you're going to hear from head coaches and general managers after draft selections either way. So I don't know if Bo Nix ends up panning out, but what I do know is that that's a need. Bo Nix is 24 years old, so he is one of the more NFL-ready quarterbacks in this draft. You're going to be relying on him early, so that's important. I guess I'll go good take. We just hope that ultimately it ends up being the right take as well. Coming up next.
Sixth quarterback taken, by the way, right?
I guess he was the sixth. That's right, because yes. It was six in the first 12. Important correction.
I got a hard time buying that if I'm a Bronco fan. It's like, we got the sixth best quarterback. He's going
to
be,
but
what
the hell do you want them to do? Like, that's the guy that was available.
Well, I mean, the Giants punted on taking a quarterback. They didn't love the guys who were available there, you know?
Right, but you're making the assumption that Peyton didn't love this guy. I mean, you know, maybe Sean Payton liked this guy enough. He was still on their board position of need. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so that you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com and at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. It's just a shame that when Zach Wilson pans out Zaslow in Denver, they're going to have to trade Bo Nix away because Zach's going to be so great. All Wilsons.
Everyone with the last name Wilson is not great, all right?
They are in my book. Coming up now. Oh, Russell, not so great there. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio, we're going to get to our favorite draft moments from last night.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We're hopping off air a little bit early tonight here on Freddie and Harry to make way for the 2024 NFL Draft. The second round coverage starts at 6 p.m. Eastern across your ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Jonathan Zaslow, Chad Brown, Amber Wilson. We've been filling in for the guys. At Chad Brown 94 is how you find Chad. At Zaslow Show is how you find Zaz. And at Amber W Sports is how you find me. So we have been reacting all show long to what happened in the first round. But what we haven't gotten to do yet is discuss some of the funnier moments and the best moments from last night's draft. Zaz, what was your favorite moment?
Oh, my. This is so easy for me. So everybody knows I am a huge pro wrestling fan. All right. And on Wednesday night on AEW Dynamite, you may not know, but the founder and president of AEW is Tony Khan. Who is Tony Khan? Tony Khan's father is Shad Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. But also, Tony Khan is a front office executive with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, on Wednesday night on AEW Dynamite, Tony Khan was given a pile driver by the Young Bucks. And I'm saying to myself, Amber, Shad, I better see a camera in that Jacksonville Jaguars war room. He better be in there with a neck brace. Otherwise, are you telling me wrestling's not real? He better be in that war room with a neck brace. And what do you know? They pan to that Jacksonville Jaguars war room, and there's Tony Khan sitting there in a neck brace. He was doing interviews all day today in a neck brace talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. They asked their draft pick last night after he was selected. A reporter asked him what he thinks about Tony Khan in the draft room there wearing the neck brace. And the player clearly didn't get it. He wished him well. Hopes he recovers.
He had no idea. What was it, in Dunze? Who did they draft?
So good. Dad? It was so good. So,
yeah, he had no idea who they
Speedy
were asking
recovery.
Him about. Yeah, so Chad, this man that Zaslow is describing in Tony Khan is the vice president of football administration and technology. Like, it's not like he's just some dude in the Jacksonville organization. He is the dude in the Jacksonville organization, and he is out there in the business suit, you know, acting like a professional, but still playing the bit, staying true to the wrestling bit.
Don't ever break character. That's one of the keys of wrestling is you don't break character.
That's right.
So he's keeping with it. He's upholding the standards of the biz.
I
actually love it. And I wasn't familiar with this yesterday, but after we talked about it this morning, I had to look. Yes, he's still wearing the neck brace. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's truly so awesome. The devotion to the character.
Oh, I love in the he's sitting next to Doug Peterson. Like, what does Peterson think? He's sitting next to Doug Peterson. He's got the neck brace. I want to know how Tony Khan explained it to Doug Peterson.
But see, I love that because it's while we all take football so life and death and so serious, it is entertainment. And so while it's got more realism than wrestling, it's still just a form of entertainment. So I think Tony Khan is really giving some real insight to Doug Peterson on how he views all of this.
I love it.
It was Brian Thomas Jr. was the draft pick.
It
was Brian Thomas who was asked about it and just had clearly no idea who Tony Khan was, but he was very gracious. My favorite thing from the draft last night was Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show, because we've theorized for years that this Bill B might actually have a personality, even though certainly none of us in the media have ever seen any semblance of it. You certainly did see it last night. But what was funny about Bill B last night on McAfee, guys, is that he also ripped apart the two picks by the two organizations that you might say most recently didn't do right by old Bill. Here first is Bill Belichick ripping apart what the Falcons did last night in drafting Michael Penix Jr.
I think it's just that. They obviously like the kid. I think this is an example where you probably could have traded back to take Penix. Maybe they thought that Denver or somebody else was going to slide in there. I don't know, but this seems a little high for him. But there's a lot to like about Penix. There's a lot to like about this kid. He's very mature. They talk about the injuries, but he's been healthy the last 2 years, and he's won a lot of games, you know, on a good football team at Washington. So, you know, it's an interesting pick, and it's interesting. Look, having two good quarterbacks isn't a bad thing.
All right, he toted the line there. Here, though, was Bill B on the Patriots taking Drake May.
Well, I think that's certainly a top need for him. It's quarterback, tackle, and wide receiver. And so, you know, this is one of the top needs. You know, Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. He has been doing that for quite a while. We'll see about that. I think there are some similarities in terms of, you know, size and athleticism. But Josh Allen's a pretty special player now, so.
That's my favorite one, Chad. We'll see about that.
Yeah, you know, Bill is nothing if not petty, but I'm happy. My favorite moment was the rest of the football viewing public got a chance to see Bill Belichick as I saw him in meetings. He's engaging. He's funny. He's actually got a great sense of humor. There is some pettiness to him, though. There's no doubt about that. But there is far more to Bill Belichick's persona than we're on to Cincinnati and mumbling at reporters. And we finally get a chance to see, in my opinion, the greatest football mind start to show some personality.
Across ESPN coverage last night, you had the greatest college football coach of all time and the greatest professional football coach of all time on ESPN platforms. Pretty cool night for ESPN. Another cool night, the NFL draft, rounds 2 and 3. The coverage begins right here, right now on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.